ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified, and through knowledge relating to the activities of all yogic Brahmins, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of seven kinds of sacrifices, headed by Agni Stoma. Indeed, you inspire the yogic Brahmins to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Matasmitir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, from the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Super Soul is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya Chaham Hridishan Nibhishta, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesher Janatishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the Super Soul gives him directions. Acting as Super Soul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, four classes of priests, known as Ritvik, are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Advaryu, Brahma, and Udgata. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Text number 30. The prayer that is being recited on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam sounds very much like the prayers of the great Paramhamsas, the intimate associates of the Lord who are offering their hearts and souls in the loving service of the Supreme Lord. Is it not? If we did not know what chapter of the Bhagavatam this was from, we may think it was offered by Prahlad or Dhruva. This prayer is being offered by Hiranyakashipu, who is very different than Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu obviously has some sort of psychological disorder. Because he wants to be the independent controller. He wants to be the Lord of all he surveys. He wants to be equal and independent from anyone and everyone. He absolutely does not want to be dependent on anyone or anything. He wants to be the master. He wants to take the position of God. However, in order to attain that position, he realizes he's completely dependent for all of his powers on the mercy of the Lord. Krishna does not need to perform tapasya to get the powers that he manifests. Hiranyakashipu is performing extreme sacrifices. Sometimes the devotees at New Vrindavan, who were here for the last 30, 35 years, have some pride that they performed some sacrifices here. Yes. Lived in the cold in the winter without heat, bathed in cold water, breaking ice just to reach into that water. No proper clothing, very, very simple food. Yes, you have heard? Well, Hiranyakashipu crushes into powder any sense of false pride that we may have for our austerities. Hiranyakashipu stood on the tips of his toes. I believe it was for 100 celestial years. That means he was on the Mandara Mountain. He was withstanding the cold of the winter, the heat of the summer. There was no shade from the sun. He didn't eat anything in that 100 years. He fasted. His arms were raised above his head. Speaking about inconveniences, last night I heard Mahaprabhu citing a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Tamsta Tikshasva Bharata. That we should tolerate all things and can carry on with our devotional service. We should not be disturbed by heat or cold or rain or wind or happiness or distress or success or failure or wealth or poverty or health or disease or youth or old age or safety or danger. These dualities are always friends to a sincere devotee because they help us to take shelter of the Lord. The expression of sincerity is that we carry on with the pursuance of our objective in life despite whatever may come upon us. Fair weather devotees do not make much progress when we serve, when everything is according to our expectations, when things are according to our comfort, within our comfort range. But Srimad Bhagavatam is all about various devotees who carried on their service no matter what. All Prahlad had to do is tell his father that the best thing I learned in school today was mathematics. Very simple. And he could have lived a comfortable life. But he spoke the truth. That was his service to the Lord. He never gave up his honor before the Lord. Even if it meant the most impossible, incredible, torturous situations. And the Pandavas, and Dhruva, and Ambarish, and the residents of Vrindavan. We find in all these situations many obstacles, impossible, difficult situations, every possible excuse to just step back. This is a lesson in the world, because this material planet Earth is especially designed to create obstacles in the path. But one must be determined. Vyabhashayatma ka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahusha ka hyanantascha budhayo vyabhashayana. If one really wants to make spiritual advancement, one must be resolute in purpose. One's aim must be one. One must have this dhritavrata. this determination. So what was Hiranyakashipu's determination? We find scholars, they give up so many of the things that they want to do to just study. Athletes, they practically torture their bodies just to become stronger and win some championship match. And business people, we have seen. I'm not going to mention names. But I know one personality, he's flying everywhere, all over the world, at all times. Has hardly no time for his family, no time for his friends, hardly has any time to even enjoy anything he's making his money with. Just working, 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 and so much opposition, and so much. When you start becoming wealthier and wealthier and more powerful, more the people who are competing against you, people who want to destroy you, both from within and your own company and outside. People trying to cheat, people trying to plunder. So much aggravation, so much, no time to enjoy anything, hardly even time to sleep. Huh? That is determination. For what? For some money. Which has never bought anyone happiness and never will. Can give someone some sense of pleasure or satisfaction to the mind, but nothing money buys can touch the heart. Even relationships. These people tell me, I have so many loving relationships, but they're all kind of drifting away because I have no time for them. Hare Krishna. And here, by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives, we're given the opportunity for the supreme ultimate treasure of eternal happiness, of eternal loving relationship with God and all living beings in the spiritual world, and compassion to every living being in this world, the ananda of the soul. But what is our determination? People have so much determination for the frivolous things of this world, but what is our determination for God consciousness? This is all important. Hiranyakashipu just wanted power. He wanted wealth and power with the hope of enjoying. And he stood for 100 celestial years and didn't move as ants was eating his body away. And he wouldn't even move his arm from its position to stroke the ants away. Yes? There were thousands of ants eating him, eating him, eating him. He stood, tolerating, fixed in his objective. They built an anthill all around him. He couldn't even see the light of day. He was completely immersed within an anthill. They ate every morsel of his flesh and drank every drop of his blood. And he still didn't move. It's tapasya. And by the power of his determination, he was able to actually keep his consciousness of the soul alive within his skeletal bones. For what purpose was he doing all this? To please Lord Brahma. Because he knew the powers that he wanted, he couldn't get on his own. It was only by the mercy, by the grace of Lord Brahma that he can achieve them. So he was doing all this for one reason only, to please the Lord. And he attained such mystic powers. I mean, his his yogic condition became so intense that not just ordinary flames, but the flames of yogic power started pouring from the top of his head into the sky. Yes, now we have big fires, but does any of our fires cause heat to another state? It's like we had many fires at New Vrindavan. This whole history of fires, candle factories burning down, restaurant burned down, so many incense factory burned down. They were all projects to make money. Somehow or other, Vrindavan Chandra has his ways of training the devotees. And some of these fires were blazing. Fire departments came. There was nothing they could do. It was just blazing. Even people's houses burned down, I have seen. But on the next mountain, nobody even notices. Even Chicago fire. The entire city of Chicago burned down. Just by one cow kicking a lantern. Yes? Whole city burned. But a couple hundred miles away, there was no effect. But here is Hiranyakashipu, one person, but the fire that's coming from his head is practically melting all the planets of the universe. So hot, the demigods could not tolerate it. Yes, Indra and them, no air conditioner could even save them. They all gathered together. It was just too much. It was uninhabitable to live in the universe as long as this fire was emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head. So they ran to Brahma and prayed, "Please, help us. You're our father." So Brahma, he tried to understand what's happening. He was looking everywhere. And he found Hiranyakashipu on Mandara Mountain. And when he saw just this skeleton standing with his arms raised, just trembling with power, he had to cease his tapasya somehow or other. So he sprinkled some water from his kamandalu pot, and Hiranyakashipu's body was revived with great effulgence and power. Now Hiranyakashipu, the fruit of all of his determination, is standing before him, the Lord. Now Hiranyakashipu's psychological disorder is all the power of Brahma comes from Vishnu. And he knows that. He's a scholar of the Vedas. He's told so many wonderful Vedic histories. He's a philosopher. He's a jnani. I don't believe there is any scholar on the face of the earth today who had the intellect as Hiranyakashipu. Yes? But because he was envious in his heart, and he was exceedingly proud, all his knowledge was conceived in a very wrong way. He's worshiping Brahma as the supreme to get power to kill Vishnu, who's giving all power to Brahma. Now, obviously, he's not going to pray to Vishnu to give him power to kill him. So he's praying to Brahma to give him power. And he wanted his power not only to subjugate the whole world, but to avenge the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha. In another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes, before this, Hiranyakashipu takes a vow before his relatives who are mourning over the death of Hiranyaksha, his younger brother. He vows that I am going to sever the head of Vishnu. And with the blood gushing from his body after I kill him, I will offer it as oblations for the satisfaction of my little brother, Hare Krishna. That's the internal reason why he wants his powers. Because he knows, as long as Vishnu's there, he can't really control the universe. So he's going around. Sometimes we try to manipulate a subordinate to somehow or other go around the superior. So here he is. He's offering such profoundly shastric prayers to Lord Brahma to please him, so that Brahma will give him whatever he desires. Srila Prabhupada is explaining herein that Hiranyakashipu is offering Brahma the glorification that all the Vedas personified are expansions of his form. He is the very personification of all Vedas. And that the great yajnic priests, who, by the way, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill them all, the great yajnic priests, they were also getting all their potency by the inspiration of the Lord. This is a very, very critical subject of today's verse, where inspiration comes from. The Lord inspires the Vedas. He inspires the desire for someone to learn the Vedas. He inspires from within the heart a person to follow the principles of the Vedas. Prabhupada quotes from the Gita, Matasmitir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Krishna is giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness to everyone. He is inspiring us according to our desires. Inspiration is the all-important quality for everyone and anyone to make any progress in any field of life. And especially spiritual life. What can we do unless we are inspired? Therefore, association of devotees is so important. Because association with the Lord and his devotees inspires our hearts on the path of bhakti. Krishna appears in the form of the deity, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Why? Simply to inspire us. Radharani and Vrindavan Chandra, their beauty inspires, enthuses us to want to serve, to want to remember them, to want to chant their names and hear their glories. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna, is available to inspire us. There are academic scholars who study Srimad Bhagavatam. Their inspiration is simply to get some reputation and some position in the academic society and make profit through the process. But when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the proper parampara, it is meant to inspire us to surrender. Knowledge without inspiration has no life. We have seen people who know so much. But they're not inspired. And in order to cross the various obstacles and difficulties and persecutions that will come upon anybody on a real spiritual path in this world, there has to be inspiration. How is it that the early Christians, when they were being fed to lions and eaten alive, they were grateful and calling out the name of their Lord? That's inspiration, isn't it? When they were being crucified, they were gratefully accepting it as an honor. It is a universal religious principle. And where were they inspired from? So yes, the Lord has come in so many ways to inspire us, in the form of the deity, in the form of the scriptures, in the form of the Vaishnavas. But as Prabhupada is explaining here, essentially inspiration is coming from the Lord within our heart. There is nothing so effulgent, there is nothing so empowered than an inspired devotee of the Lord. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He was inspired by the order of his spiritual master, by his love for Krishna, by his faith in the holy name. He was so inspired. Some of you were at Butler, Pennsylvania on the 25th of this month. Barsana Swami Maharaj gave a beautiful talk, I was told, about Prabhupada's inspiration to undergo so many difficulties with such joy. And because of his inspiration, he inspired people who were spiritually like dead men and women. He inspired us. He kindled the flame of devotion from within our heart, a flame that we never even knew existed. And when inspiration is lacking, then chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, coming to the temple and offering your heart to the deities, performing service, it is all just boring. It all becomes a burden. Prabhupada explained in 1972 that your deities of Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra are so beautiful, so merciful. They are like the most beautiful American boy and girl. They have appeared to attract all American boys and girls. And he was so pleased to see the deity worship. It was actually incredible. Every day, devotees used to wake up sometimes at 1 in the morning, because they had to be chanting japa by 2:30 at the latest. They would, 1 in the morning, and they'd be driving to all distant places trying to find nice flowers. And they'd just be, you know, risking so much in the middle of the dense darkness of night. With little flashlights, you know, climbing trees and picking flowers for hours. Then they come back and chant all the rounds from 2:30 to 4:30. And then after Mangal Arti, oh, how they would be dressing the deities with all these beautiful flowers. And meanwhile, ladies, they would work sometimes on marathon shifts. There's no shifts on marathons, actually. They just worked day and night to make beautiful clothing for the deities for a particular festival.
say, what incredible jewelry, ornaments, clothing. Maybe dozens of them sometimes, just working, working, not even giving up sleeping, practically eating and everything, just to get this beautiful, beautiful, detailed, ornamented dress for Radharani for Govardhan Puja. And in Vaishnav calendar, there are so many holidays. We're very busy. They didn't just go to Lloyd Bazaar and give, you know, 30,000 rupees for a dress. No. They would, from scratch, they would make it. They would spend months, day and night, intricate, detailed work. They were inspired. And this was every day. So Prabhupada came and saw that beautiful deity worship. And when Prabhupada came, of course, it was beyond everything what we're talking about. And he saw darshan. He was so happy. Now, Prabhupada praised the efforts of the devotees, but with a very serious warning. He said, they are so beautiful. The worship is so nice. He said, there are two lines that are parallel in the path of bhakti. Pancharatra ki vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma. Worship of the deity and hearing and chanting the glories of Vishnu, Krishna. He said that if you are not finding that inspiration by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees, the day will come when you will look at Radha Vrindavan Chandra and you will think, why has my Guru Maharaj left me with this burden? At that time, people were standing in line to dress the deities, standing in line to offer an arti. It was so rare. Only a few people were actually given the privilege of doing that service. And others were just doing all menial services to assist them with the hope and aspiration that maybe in this life or some future life, I will be able to actually offer the arti or dress the deity. There was never, ever a time of running around to find somebody to do it. It was practically, because I was the head pujari for some time, it was more beating off people who want to do it. Not physically, but just so much inspiration, so much enthusiasm. And Prabhupada explained, if you're not finding pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and Prabhupada said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, not Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam means hearing and chanting. And the nature of the mind is we can rationalize and justify practically anything as devotional service. Yes. We could talk practically any subject that comes upon the whims of our mind and somehow or other, with our intelligence, justify that this is Krishna Katha. But Prabhupada saw that tendency. He said, not Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Directly Krishna. Direct. We must regularly be hearing and chanting about Krishna. And when we do this, in the association of devotees, we become inspired by the Lord within the heart. And then when we come before the deity, we're inspired with faith and enthusiasm for our devotional service. If we're not enthused, it's very difficult to even follow the four regulative principles. Because if Krishna consciousness is boring to us, we have to find some excitement, some life, some taste somewhere. We're trying to overcome the lower desires with a higher taste. But that higher taste doesn't come very cheaply. It comes through determination. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us, and Prabhupada repeated so many times, that without tapasya, we're not going to become inspired. Tapasya means we read the holy scriptures, even if it's difficult for us to do it. We come to hear the Bhagavat, even if it's difficult. Prabhupada asked us to vow to chant 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's not easy. If you're inspired, it's not only easy, it's ecstatic. But if you're not inspired, it's very difficult. For some people, they've actually come to the conclusion it's impossible. Chant 16 rounds every day? Because we're not inspired. That's all. There's no other reason. Some of the busiest people I've ever met in my life are chanting with enthusiasm. But the tapasya is to do it, even if we're not enthused. To the degree we give up things that are unfavorable for devotional service and accept things for devotional service, we become enthused. We become inspired by the Lord within. This is actually a great act of God's mercy when from within our heart He gives us inspiration. It's not a cheap thing. We have to want it. We have to work for it. We have to make sacrifices for it. And Krishna gives it inspiration. When devotees are inspired, they become effulgent with God's grace. And that is what Prabhupada is speaking of here. Krishna appears to inspire the people of this world in various ways. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired this world with Krishna Prem in three ways. Sakshad, Avesh, and Avirbhava. Sakshad means the Lord's personal direct appearance. How He inspired people's hearts in this way. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, wherever he went, he would just inspire love of God from within people's hearts by inducing them to chant the holy names. When he was in Navadvip, he was just dancing in the street, and there was an outcast tailor who just happened to do some sewing work for Srivas Thakur. And this person had no belief in Hinduism, no conception of Krishna, no care whatsoever. But he just happened to see Lord Chaitanya dancing and singing for just a second. And he just cried out, "I have seen!" And he started weeping and crying and he chanting Krishna's names. He attained the perfection of life in a moment just by seeing Lord Chaitanya's love. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in the outskirts of Navadvip, there were those drunkard people. He wanted to go in to deliver them. But Srivas Thakur said, "If you go in that house, I will give up my life, because people will criticize you for going into such a horrible, sinful place as a house of drunkards." So the Lord didn't go in. But just by seeing him through the window, all the drunkards became drunk on Harinam. They all came out chanting. They attained the perfection of life. That is Sakshat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he traveled to South India, he was just dancing down the earthen pathways, chanting Harinam. Yes? And anybody who saw him, they were so charmed by his beauty, so overtaken by his compassion. And he would look upon them with tear-filled eyes of compassion and say, "My dear brothers, my dear sisters, take the name of Krishna." And they would be inspired to chant Harinam. And as they were chanting, they became ecstatic. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to those men and he would embrace them. "You're my life and soul. Anyone who takes the name of Krishna is my life and soul. Go and propagate this Harinam wherever you may be." And they were so inspired. Wherever they went, anybody who saw them would become filled with love of God. This is Sakshat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within this world to induce people to chant Hare Krishna and feel the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And then there was Avirbhava. That means the places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't physically present, but he would manifest himself. There were four places that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he may have personally been in the world, he would always manifest himself personally in four different places. Not everybody could see him, only special souls. Whenever there was kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear. Whenever Lord Nityananda Prabhu danced, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present personally. Whenever Sachi Mata would cook bhoga and offer it in her temple room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come. Many such stories. Sachi Mata, 24 hours a day, was thinking of her beloved son, Nimai, especially after he had taken sannyas, in separation. She would cook just the preparations that she used to make for him when he was a child and she knew he liked. And as she'd be making the preparation, she'd be weeping and crying, "Nimai liked this so much. So much love." And then she'd offer it to her deities. And Lord Chaitanya, he personally explained some of the things that would happen to his mother. One time she offered the deities the bhoga, And when she was offering, she was thinking, oh, Nima, I like these preparations so much. If only he was here to eat them. But he has left home forever to take sannyas, living in Puri, so far distance away. But how he liked these preparations. And Lord Chaitanya would personally appear there. She wouldn't see him with her eyes. He would eat everything on the plate. Hare Krishna. And then, after the offering, she'd come back in and she'd see there's nothing on the plate. And she became confused. What happened? Perhaps I forgot to put anything on the plate. Or perhaps some animal came in and ate it all. And then she went and she looked in the pots, and of course there was still bhoga in the pots. So she once again filled up all the plates and offered it again. This was a daily affair, practically. Every time she cooked, Lord Chaitanya would personally appear to eat it. And similarly, in the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati, any time he and his sister, Devayanti, cooked bhoga to offer with love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally appear and accept that. Now we see in all these four instances how the Lord is irresistibly attracted by the love of his devotee. Nothing attracts Krishna except the love of his devotee. The love of the devotees in kirtan. The love of the devotees eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The love of the devotees offering their services irresistibly attracts the Lord's presence. That is called avirbhava. Should I tell another example of avirbhava? Since it's a festival, if we go over time, most of you don't have anything else to do here anyway. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year invited all of his devotees from Bengal to come to Jagannath Puri, and they would stay for about 4 months. And just be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nam Kirtan, Harikatha, Ratayatra, Prasad together. It was very beautiful. And they look forward to it. They live for that. So one time, Sri Kanta Sain, the relative of Sivananda Sain, he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 2 months in Puri. And Lord Chaitanya told him, go back to Bengal and tell Advaitacharya, tell Sivananda Sain, tell them that they should not come to Puri next year because I will come in the winter, in the month of Posh, to Bengal. And tell Sivananda Sain I will come to his house. So he came back and told, and they were so happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to return to Bengal after so long time. He's going to come to our house. So they didn't go that summertime to Puri, thinking that winter he was coming. So they didn't go. But because they missed going summer, can you imagine the intensity of their separation? We cannot imagine. Unless you have a pure heart, you cannot comprehend. So the month of Paush came, December, January. And they waited. You know, the month is only about 30 days. And they waited. And they made every preparation to receive him. And every day they were thinking, he's coming today. He didn't come. Soon it was just about the end of the month. And they were simultaneously enthused with the prospect that he's coming, and very much discouraged that he hasn't come yet. The month was practically gone. And then there was a brahmachari. His name was Pradyumna Brahmachari. But because he was a very, very great, pure-hearted devotee of Lord Narasimhadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the name Narasimhananda Brahmachari. Harivo. So he happened to come to Kumarahatta. Near Kumarahatta is the house of Shivananda Singh. So he was there, and Jagadananda Pandit was there also, because he heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promised he's coming to Shivananda Singh's house, so they were waiting. They had everything prepared to receive him. But it was the end of the month. So Narasimhananda Brahmachari looked at them, they looked very despondent. He said, "What is wrong? Why are you looking so sad?" They said, we gave up going to Puri with the promise of Lord Chaitanya that he was coming during this month, and it's the end of the month, and he hasn't come." Narasimhananda Brahmachari said, "I will bring him here. I vow to you that I will bring him here within 3 days. Just be patient." So Narasimhananda Brahmachari was a very, very pure-hearted soul. He went into meditation. He meditated. And after about a day passed, he said, or after 2 days passed, I'm sorry, 2 days passed, he came out of his meditation and he told Shivananda Singh and Jagadananda Pandit, who really didn't know what was going on. He said, "I have brought the Lord all the way from Puri to Panihati. He's already there. And tomorrow, by noon, he'll be here. So make a big, wonderful feast for him." So they were very, very excited. So they brought all kinds of ingredients, and they actually gave it to Narasimhananda Brahmachari. And he cooked so many delicious preparations. With the support and the help of Jagadananda Pandit and Shivananda Singh, this incredible offering was made. And then Narasimhananda Brahmachari went into the deity room and made 3 plates. One for the deity of Jagannath, 2 for the deity of Narasimhadev, and 3 for Lord Chaitanya. So he put all 3 plates down and he meditated. And what did he see? He saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appear in the deity room, in the house of Shivananda Singh. And first Lord Chaitanya ate all the food on his plate. And then he went over and ate every morsel of the food on Jagannath's plate. Then he went over and ate all the food on Narasimhadev's plate. And Narasimhananda Brahmachari, his eyes were over flooded with tears of ecstatic love to be personally seeing Lord Chaitanya eating all of the food that he prepared. He was in ecstasy. He was so happy. But at the same time, he was a little confused. He said, "My Lord, you ate the food off everybody's plate. I know that you're non-different than Lord Jagannath, but you even ate the food off the bhoga off Narasimhadev's plate. Today, Narasimhadev is going to have to fast. And if the master has to fast, then the servant cannot survive, cannot live." So then Lord Chaitanya, after eating everything, he left back for Panihati. So Narasimhananda Brahmachari came out of the deity room. He looked very despondent. Jagadananda Pandit, Shivananda Singh said, "You know, they were... What happened?" He said, "Your Lord, your Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ate everyone's food. And today Narasimhadev is fasting. I cannot live. So please, make another offering." So then he made another offering and offered that to Lord Narasimhadev. And he told And Jagadananda Pandit and Shivananda saying they were just in so much anticipation and separation. When, the Lord's coming. You promised He'd come today. When is He coming? Narsinghananda Brahmachari said, He already came and He left. He took prasad at your home according to His promise and He has left. So they didn't doubt Narsinghananda Brahmachari. Well, you know, maybe was this just his bhava? Was just this the ecstasies of his internal love? Or did he actually appear? They didn't really say anything. So the next year, the devotees went to Puri. They definitely went to Puri. And one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with all the devotees and he started praising the glories of Narsinghananda Brahmachari. And he said, and even last year, he said, at the house of Shivananda Sen in the month of Paush, he made this preparation and that preparation and so many other wonderful preparations, and I ate it and it was so delicious. And Shivananda Sen understood those were the preparations made. Then all doubts were removed from his heart. That is avirbhava, where the love of the Lord appears, being drawn by the loving devotional service of His devotees. And there is abesh. That is the third way that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally come to manifest His loving mission. And that is by empowering His devotees by personally appearing and investing His own powers in His loving devotees. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a very wonderful example. There's a village not far from Ambika Kalna near Navadweep. And that was the residence of Nakula Brahmachari. Because of his pure heart, his genuine humility and love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fulfill the mission of his Harinam Sankirtan movement, he personally entered the heart and manifest his powers through Nakula Brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya was sannyasi, living in Puri. But Nakula Brahmachari was manifesting the same characteristics of Lord Chaitanya. Not as a pretender, but just spontaneously inspired. The same type of ecstatic tears, hair standing on end, voice being choked up, limbs trembling as he danced ecstatically with such beauty, chanting the holy names. The same compassion that the Lord possessed for all living beings was manifesting through Nakula Brahmachari. It is explained that just as a ghost may haunt an unfortunate person and just control their life, just take over the powers of their own faculties, in a similar way, the most fortunate Nakula Brahmachari was possessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just controlled his every word. He controlled his every moment. Hare Krishna. He was puppet. Puppet of the Lord. And therefore, whoever he met, he induced them to chant the holy names, and ecstatic love would awaken in those persons' heart. Now, Shivananda Sen, he heard about this Nakula Brahmachari, how he was exhibiting this avirbhava presence of the Lord. And he had some doubt. I mean, yes, maybe he's an empowered and great devotee, but is it actually true that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally living within him and working through him? I will test him.
So he went near Ambika Kalna. Actually, if you go from Navadvip to Ambika Kalna, on the way is the house of Nakula Brahmacharya. Two times, I think, in yatras we have gone to that place. Very, very holy place. So Shivananda Sen went, and there were large crowds of people coming for the darshan of Nakula Brahmacharya. They were all just hurrying to see him, to somehow or other get his blessing or his glance. And Shivananda Sen stood a distance away in the outskirts. And he fought within his mind and didn't say a word to anyone. If Nakula Brahmacharya knows my personal, private mantra, then I know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally present through him. Because besides his guru, nobody else knew the mantra that he had. So at that point, with all these crowds of so many people, Nakula Brahmacharya turned to two or four of his associates and said, "Go in the crowd and bring Shivananda Sen here." He just arrived. He was in the outskirts. How does he know? So they were just running through the crowds, crying out loudly, "Shivananda Sen! Shivananda Sen! Nakula Brahmacharya is calling for you!" Shivananda Sen was very happy. So he went before Nakula Brahmacharya, who never met him before. That's the way it appears. And as soon as he came close to him, Nakula Brahmacharya said, "Oh, your mantra is Gaur Gopal. Now give up your doubts in your mind." Then Shivananda Sen realized, Avirbhava. Empowered. I'm sorry, Avesh. Avesh, empowered representative of the Lord. Prabhupada said, Avesh also is termed as Shaktyavesh. Shaktyavesh doesn't mean that through our learning we can simply convince people, or through our austerities or our charisma. Shaktyavesh really means when the Supreme Personality of Godhead has personally chosen someone to manifest extraordinary powers of his own through that devotee. And the founder Acharya of our New Vrindavan community, Srila Prabhupada. So obviously and magnificently did he display this quality of Shaktyavesh avatar. We know the story at Ramkeli when there was a big, big kirtan of millions of people. But this kirtan was not ordinary. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his way to Vrindavan, he went into the town where the king who outlawed all Hinduism and hated Hindus and persecuted them, where he lived with his armies, the Nawab Husayn Shah. He was so cruel that if a person even was touched by his shadow, they would jump in the Ganges to purify themselves from the evil that had come upon them. Hare Krishna. They feared him. He was like a terrorist in that way. Now, how many of you would want to go for Harinam Kirtan into the cave where Osama bin Laden is hiding? We'll multiply that by thousands of times. Nawab Husayn Shah was the king, and he had such passionate hatred and such fanaticism. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just went right into the kingdom and just tell everybody chant. And
This is Shakshad. He inspired people. Please listen carefully. I know it's over time, and I know I'm not following the schedules properly, but it's a very important story. They were so inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence that they didn't care. Their whole lives they were living in the fear of the shadow of the Nawab. Any type of religious activities was totally underground and secret, never public. And here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, chant Harinam! And they all came out of their homes loudly chanting the holy names, tumultuously chanting the holy names. Soon millions and millions of people gathered from all different directions chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna. That's inspiration. Fearless. And it was at that, during that kirtan, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after days, 24 hours a day, for several days this kirtan went on. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was finally induced to just, you know, become calm from his ecstasies, he made this prep. He made this prediction. Prithivityachiyata nagaradigram. He said, in every town and village throughout the world, my name will be chanted. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he induced all the people in the southern and western provinces of India, in Bengal, and even the animals, like the tigers and the elephants and the deers and the snakes and the trees and the creepers, to chant in ecstatic love in Jharikhanda. He went to Vrindavan, to Kurukshetra, wherever he went. Every town and village was chanting his names. But the rest of the world, Nityananda Prabhu in Alalanath, when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inducing so many thousands of people, just common people, to chant Harinam in ecstatic love, he predicted that in every town and village of this world you will induce people to chant the holy names. At one time, I believe it was Vishnu Jana Maharaj, he inquired from Srila Prabhupada, now why didn't Lord Chaitanya do it himself? Or such a great acharya as Bhaktivinoda, why didn't he do it? Prabhupada just, with great humility, just kind of put his head down and said that they saved this work for us. He said, they saved this work for me to do. So it is a fact. What was considered impossible. Prabhupada traveled around the world 12 or 13 times. Rathyatras in almost every major city of the world. Tens and millions of books, propagating the holy name all over the world, and devotees from all over the world. Just 2 days back, I was at Gita Nagari, and there's devotees from Croatia, and devotees from Russia, and devotees from Argentina, and devotees from Brazil, and devotees from London, and devotees from India, and devotees from Orient, devotees from Australia. Believe it or not, there was even a few devotees from America. And they're all chanting the holy names in kirtan. All inspired, loving disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. It's Prabhupada. He spread the holy name all over the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for that day when devotees from devotees from Africa, devotees from India, devotees from America, devotees from Europe. They would all gather together chanting the holy names of Jai Satchinandan in the holy Dham of Navadvip. And from about 1974, when there was Mayapur festivals, it's been happening every year. How is it possible? Because Prabhupada, by his love, by his compassion, he attracted Krishna to manifest within his heart, to fulfill his own prophecy. And then Prabhupada inspired his servants, many of them, to carry it on, like Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj and others, to carry on this great mission of empowered compassion. The greatest fortune, the greatest happiness that we can possibly achieve is to be inspired by their inspiration. Thank you very much. Inspired to sincerely take shelter of the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained so nicely that he came to teach three most essential principles of religion. Chanting the holy names of Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, and being instruments of compassion, the Lord's compassion, to the suffering souls of this world. That's all really that life is about. The most intelligent and fortunate people, we may have so many responsibilities, but we organize and orchestrate all of our responsibilities so that we can deeply dive into these three essential principles of religion. To serve the devotees of the Lord. To be instruments of the Lord's compassion to the world. And what is the greatest compassion? To take shelter of the chanting of God's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, however, we must find that inspiration is the greatest prospect of our life. How Prabhupada inspired. We can write volumes and volumes of books. In fact, there already is volumes and volumes of books about how Prabhupada inspired. There's books about how Prabhupada inspired devotees, what is it called, down under in Australia. How Prabhupada inspired people to surrender to Krishna and make an explosion of Hare Krishna in Africa. In Germany, in England, Hayagriva Prabhu wrote Hare Krishna Explosion. Wherever he went, he just inspired explosions of bhakti. And let us take an example here at New Vrindavan. What did Prabhu? We were discussing this yesterday in a small group of devotees that Narada Muni Prabhu arranged. And there, There was just the remembrances of what devotees did. Someone was saying, I think it was Sankirtan Prabhu or Adwaita Prabhu, who would want to live in this place? Ice cold water, freezing cold winters, mud everywhere. It's like living in a pot of mud. Yes, just to walk was just going in and out of mud. It's no exaggeration. Ruchi Mata, do you remember? People from all over America would come here on pilgrimage, but they would dread the mud. And that was in the summer. If you wanted to escape the mud, you'd have to come in the winter when it all turned into ice. Hare Krishna. So either you go, or you go, and you it's not an easy place. Way below poverty. Simple food. Some people wouldn't even call it food. It was prasad. It was holy sacrament of the Lord, but very simple. And so, completely isolated from the world. Yes? No telephone, no television, no anything. I mean, myself, I spent about 8 years, I never talked on a telephone. And we're living in America. Never heard a radio. Never saw a television. 5 years, I never even saw a lady. I was way up in a mountain where only brahmacharis were allowed. Except Subhadra, Radharani, Tulsi, and the cows. A very different type of life. Why would anyone want to live? And so much hard work. Devotees getting up at 2 in the morning or 1:30, and mostly 2 in the morning, yes? Getting up, ice cold temple room, just chanting or japa, going to Mangalarti, nobody ever missed. And working all day long, so hard. Why? And nobody got paid one penny. No one. And built so many wonderful things. Devotees not being paid a penny built Prabhupada's palace, this temple, the whole Bahulaban, and it used to be beautiful. How? Why? And they were happy because they were inspired. And where did that inspiration come from? From Srila Prabhupada's love. And those who had been affected by Srila Prabhupada's love. They were empowered. Prabhupada's love inspired us. Inspired, well, I can't include myself because I never did much of anything. But inspired all these devotees to do things that were incredible, remarkable, beyond their abilities. His Holiness Barsana Maharaj, he was sitting on bulldozers for sometimes 20 hours a day in the middle of the winter. And there's no heat. You're just out in the elements. The wind's blowing on you. The snow is falling on you. Ice is coming on you. I mean, I used to see him. He'd come in and his clothes would be covered with ice sometimes. And it wasn't moving, just sitting. Just moving mountains, making mountains into lakes. You see these two lakes there? They used to be small hills in a field. It's unbelievable. And never got paid a cent. And hardly got anything to eat. Never got a new set of clothes. Just probably had one or two torn dhotis. Why? Body is getting racked with pain. Why? Sudhanu, we were discussing him. Sudhanu Prabhu, one of the great saints. He was making all these molds. You see, all these are all molds. everything you see here, most everything in palace, he was working in a place where there is intense toxic fumes. And he knows, anybody knows, it could cause cancer, it could cause death. But he worked hard, sometimes 18, 20 hours a day. You know, you just finish your rounds, go to the morning program, and boom, until night, late night sometimes. For years and years and years, had a family. Never asked for one penny. Never asked for one penny. Never got a pair of clothes. If you want a pair of shoes, you have to wait till someone leaves and try to get theirs. Why? That's how this place was built, by people like this. Gopala Supriya, Ruchi, Mataji, Jai Shri Mataji. Some of these people are here right now. They all lived in this mood. And it was that sacrifice that created everything. Because Prabhupada inspired them. He wanted a holy place of pilgrimage to broadcast the glories of these three principles. Nam Sankirtan, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivadoya, compassion to the souls of the world. Prabhupada inspired, and he inspired others to inspire, and others to inspire, others to inspire. That is the power of inspiration. And sometimes I go to Malabar Hill in Bombay, a very wealthy place, or Beverly Hills in Hollywood and Malibu Beach in California. I do not see the ecstasy in people's hearts or the gleam in people's eyes. Then I see when someone is inspired. Prabhupada's book distributors were sometimes getting thrown in prisons, going to giving books out in a place where they didn't have a permit. No big crime, but so much harassment. Being out night and day, sometimes being persecuted, sometimes being beaten, but they were ecstatic. Why? They were inspired. They had life. It's not a small thing. Prabhupada was Shaktivesh. Krishna was personally manifesting his powers through Prabhupada. And he invested those powers in anyone who was willing to just open their hearts and receive him. And that's what New Vrindavan is about. That's what Prabhupada's society of ISKCON is about. But of course, we all have the free will to what extent we want to be inspired. And there's nothing like that. So let us come together and really try to inspire one another. To hear and chant the glories of the Lord. To dance and sing the names of the Lord. And to actually witness Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra manifest themselves to attract the whole world. And now, the moment you have been waiting for. Class is finished. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have our Madhava Maharaj here. He is so inspired, sometimes it's difficult to come near him. He's so inspired. Huh? He's just like a volcano eternally erupting with enthusiasm for devotional service. I've taken prasad with him, and sometimes taking prasad takes 2 or 3 hours because he's talking about Krishna. And Vaishnava etiquette is you don't leave prasad until everyone finishes, and he never finishes. He's talking Krishna Katha, one subject after another, after another, after another. It's like an endless river of flow of Hari Katha. Till finally, usually Naranjan Swami just says, Maharaj, eat, please. We can't get up till you finish, please. And then he'll say, all right, and he'll start, and then something will come to his mind. Transcendental person. This is inspiration. So let us pray for this type of inspiration. Hare Krishna. Or associate with people with that inspiration.